All right, so Memorial Day weekend, and we have, man, this guy's one of my favorites, Mitch Stinson,
on
a former aircraft carrier aviator for the United States Navy, and he's a comedian. Mitch, good morning. Thank you for your service.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Before we get into the cool stuff of being a pilot and landing on an aircraft carrier, when you reflect over this weekend, what do you think about?
You know, that's such an awesome question because, you know, I grew up as a kid, you know, and we had World War II veterans that lived in our neighborhood, and they were the guys that always had their flags out, and now you got a whole generation of people that have made the ultimate sacrifice and served for this country as well. So I reflect upon it. I lost some friends when I was in the service. Just try and remember them, you know, just try to realize how important it is that we take that extra just a minute to say, hey, thank you. Thank you for what you did. And regardless of what anybody believes in their politics, it doesn't matter. These are the folks, men and women, that went out and did what they had to do. And God bless them.
Wow, you know what I just took from this interview? I'm going to get a flag and put it outside my house. Like, I haven't had one outside my house in years. And like, I'm going to do that. Because you're right. That brought me back to, you would just drive down the street around this time of year, and you would see flags everywhere.
Yeah, I have one I put out every year.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was something I always thought was really neat.
Yeah, and you've done some comedy shows for Gold Star Families, correct?
I have, yeah. As a matter of fact, and I'll mention his name, he's Green Beret that was killed in Afghanistan. His family has a foundation that they do, and they keep his legacy alive with that. His name was Matthew Pacino. I think of him as well, and they do amazing stuff. They'll pick a veteran out and raise money just to help them with their post-war stuff. I think of stuff like that, you know. Legacy is important, I think, when it comes to that.
Yeah, and this is it's a beautiful thing that we stop once a year just to reflect on people who gave the ultimate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, I'm going to shift gears now and talk to you. I'm going to nerd out now. when were you an aircraft carrier aviator?
So I flew from 85 to 93. I was in the Cold War. And so people always look at me now and they go, Cold War? And I'm like, yeah, don't forget your scarf and your mittens.
Really cold out there.
But yeah, no, I was the East Coast guy, flew E-2 Hawkeyes for the Navy, and did deployments into the Mediterranean. Back in those days, Muammar Gaddafi was the bad guy. The Pan Am, the Lockerbie tragedy had happened. So we did a lot of stuff with that. So I'm kind of an old timer.
Yeah, no, but the Russians were still a problem, even though the Soviet Union was coming apart. I mean, it was still
an issue. Yeah.
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 So
yeah,
we were challenged. Like, So you were in 85. What year did Top Gun come out?
Top Gun came out in 86.
Oh, man. What day?
Oh, dude.
What day? What hour?
You did
what
well at the bar.
What a time to be a... Like, you're like, yeah, I'm that dude. You walk into any bar. It's like, yeah.
Chicks. Top Gun. That's right. I am.
That's
I'm
me.
Top Gun. Do you have a piano we can play?
Right.
Oh, it had its benefits at the time. Yes.
Oh, nice. Jesus.
Very nice. Very nice.
What was your fly name?
They called me Stitch. It was a mix between my name, Mitch Stinson, and I was a landing signal officer. So anytime you graded another airplane coming aboard, if they had a bad landing, they got a no grade, which we used to call a Stitch. Oh. So and all came together.
Gotcha.
Oh, man.
Miami Doy.
You know, I've said this to you before, but the two hardest things to do on planet Earth is, one, hit a Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You know, and two, land an aircraft carrier on a ship, land a plane on an aircraft carrier at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a challenging, you know, most of my memories coming back, you know, people will talk about it. In the daytime, it was a lot of fun. At nighttime, it was no bueno. No fun at all. Lots of concentration, lots of bad memories, all that stuff.
Really? Bad memories?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was a few times where, you know, you kind of you get out of the airplane and go down and fill out your paperwork, and your hand was shaking too much to be able to really do anything.
Right.
The maintenance chief would be laughing, going, "You have a tough one out there, Lieutenant." Like, yeah.
Yeah, because so your landing strip is dinky,
moving,
yeah,
and it's moving,
right. And you know what's interesting too is it's hard to explain to people who've never experienced this. Is that it's the darkness at night with no, you know, if you have a cloud cover, so you don't see any stars, no moon, no nothing in the middle of the ocean. You just can't imagine darkness more than that. You know, so that was always the thing. It was a dark night. It always is. You know, I mean, that was the hard part, is like just being in the pure blackness, like flying in a void.
How did you find the plane then? Did you guys have night vision, or were there gears that told you where?
You would literally walk out. And that's funny you should ask that, because they used to tie the airplanes down. And if you didn't have your flashlight out, you'd find one of them chains holding another airplane down. There were plenty of young aviators taking a digger on the flight deck looking.
Found it!
Yeah, just getting out on the deck and finding your plane is one thing.
Yeah.
And then then you're out there, you do your whatever, your drill or your mission, and then you come back, and then now you got to land this freaking thing on this moving, tiny postage stamp size landing strip.
Like, I'm going to an airport. See you guys later. Yeah.
No headlights.
Yeah, it was always interesting.
Wow.
And then there's a hook on the plane that stops you from going off the other side. That has to be a little bit of a concern when you're coming in. It's like, I have to come down when the hook gets the cable.
Yes.
I can't come down after that cable.
I miss the hook. I keep on going.
Right.
Right. And we train for that. You know, it's called a bolter. So if you miss the wire or the hook, sometimes you'd have the hook would hit the deck at the wrong angle and it would bounce. And when it would bounce over the wires.
Oh.
So, yeah, and then you'd be like, oh, good, I get to do it again. We used to call it nighttime.
Yay. Take two.
What'd you call it?
We called nighttime touch and goes. Practice and bleeding. I mean, why are we doing this?
I just call it oops.
Jesus. So you're ready. If you don't hear that hook hit, get the cable,
power up.
You're just like, here we go, we're off again.
Yeah, so that was part of the training. So every time, day or night, you would touch down on the flight deck, and as you felt, and you believe me, you knew when you hit that flight deck, because it was a pretty solid rated descent into the wire area. Once you hit the deck, you were full power. And if you caught the wires, you know, you knew you caught the wires, and you pull the power back. And if you didn't catch the wires, you were glad the power was already up, because you were going bouncing up again. So,
man.
So yeah, it was part of the training for sure.
Do you miss it?
I do. You know, it's funny. I miss the excitement of it. As an old man, I don't miss it, I suppose. But, I enjoyed the thrill of it. It was always a challenge, and it was kind of cool to be part of it, I think, because it is such a unique form of aviation. So yeah, in that way I do.
But when you get, when you get on a plane, are you like, you know what? Just let me up there.
Right.
Like, I'll get to say, like, I'll get you guys there in half the freaking time.
Awesome,
okay.
Fun. Watch this. Yeah.
Yeah, I like to walk into the air. You know, I go out as a passenger. I'm like, first of all, I don't like being a passenger. I should probably sit up front and talk to these guys. They're all younger than us.
Tell them a thing or two.
Yeah.
You go have Cheez-Its. I'll be up here.
Right. That's awesome. You should put a cable in your driveway and try and catch me to Subaru.
Yeah, what do you drive? What does a guy who goes flying planes like? What do you drive?
I do have a Harley.
There you go.
Right.
There's your adrenaline.
Right. Danger.
Yeah. And it's funny, because we used to call the F-14 a turkey, and especially coming aboard. And I'd be out on the landing signal platform and, you know, waving in F-14s, which we called the turkey. And, you know, it would get your attention at nighttime. You know, you got to be careful of the turkeys out there. And now I'm on my motorcycle up in Maine, and I got real turkeys flying out at
me. Get away from your damn turkey.
Away from the turkey.
When we have Mitch Stinson on, former aircraft carrier aviator for the United States Navy. Can't thank you enough for your service.
Seriously, man.
When I see a movie and I see, like, all right, somebody who's never flown a plane before gets in a plane, they figure out how to fly. Is that possible? Like, if I got in a plane, can I figure out how to start that thing up? Does it say, is it like, I get in a car, I know where to, you know,
to start.
Turn a key or start.
Right, the button you push.
Like, is there a button? You think I could figure out, if I got in a plane, can I figure out how to get it off the ground?
Okay, so you just nailed everything every pilot's ever thought when they see a movie like that. It's like, how do they know how to do that? Like, I can't, if, you know, and I flew, I had over 2,500 hours of jet time, and there's no way I'd get in an airplane today, and I'd be, like, probably texting somebody. I wouldn't even know how. I wouldn't know what I was.
Watch a YouTube video?
Really?
That's crazy.
How'd you fly F-14?
So if there's Armageddon, and I'm, like, running for my life, and I see an airplane, just keep running.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, I got it.
I hit the eject button.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to get, because it looks simple. It looks like, all right, you start it.
Right.
Seatbelt
on.
There's something with flaps.
Right. Seatbelt on. Right.
And then throttle up.
Right. And wait for the music.
And you get a good speed going, and then start pulling up on the stick.
You know, it's great. There's something with flaps.
You know, more success.
I'm not sure what the flaps should be, but I know I got to do something with them.
Right. He drove right to the ocean.
I'm not on a ship.
Right. You're qualified.
Right.
You're qualified.
Yeah. Your nickname is Splash.
I got your permit.
Yeah. We have some. Mind taking a question here, Mitch? Chef Jim has one for you. Jim?
Hey, Mitch, thank you for your service. Can you explain, you just mentioned that when you hit the deck, you're at full throttle. Can you explain on that a little bit more? Because that's kind of fascinating to hear that you're trying to stop the plane, but yet you're in full throttle.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, yeah, you're basically working your power leverage, your throttles all the way to touchdown. That's how you affect your glide slope in those kind of landings, is you're working the power. And as you touch down, as soon as you hit the deck, you go right to full power. So if you catch a wire, those purchase cables, those big cables that catch on the hook, they can hold you at full power.
Wow.
You're not going to go anywhere.
That's some cable.
Yeah, it is, and it's huge. It's like it's a big, you know, probably 4-inch diameter cable. And so if you miss, you're already, you know, you've got your engines are all spooled up, and you're ready to go. Yeah. The jet has a lag time in it, so if you're at idle and now you're going to full power after you've rolled down the deck a little bit, it takes a few seconds for those motors to kick back in and their full thrust.
Wow.
And that's why they do that.
Okay, no disrespect to carnies, but this is why you don't want carnies working on the deck of an aircraft carrier. Because it's like, when's the last time that cable was checked?
Right. Who put twine?
Yeah, right. I need a better crew on this deck here.
It's a bunch of twine!
the Navy outlawed mullets, so we were all right.
Hey, Chef Jim, great question.
One more question real quick, please.
Yeah.
What's more G-force on your body? The jolt from being the takeoff or the jolt when you land and come to the stop?
Oh, great question.
Right.
Wow, there too. Yeah, very good question. The jolt on the catch shot's pretty good. I always love that. The one in the landing is always one of relief, so you don't even you know, like, you catch that and you're like, oh, thank God, I'm slowing down. Quick funny story for you. I had a student who didn't lock his harness. So and that, you know, his seatbelt is locked in. So he hit the deck. I was on the LSO platform. He hit the deck. He went to full power. He was in the wires. And I looked over at the airplane, and he was gone. Like, you couldn't see him. He had gotten his head all the way into his lap, and he got his helmet stuck under the glare shield.
Oh, my God. What was his nickname? Hey, don't!
So we called him... Yeah, we called him Ghost for the rest of his career.
That's awesome, man.
Ask goodbye.
That's great.
Funny.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for your time on the air here to make everybody happy. And Chaz and AJ, great job. Great show, guys. Great show, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chef.
Take care, everybody.
Mitch, thank you so much, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. Honor. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God, it's an honor for us always. We got to get you in this state for a comedy show.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
Yeah, I would love to. Love to come down.
All right, brother. Mitch Stinson, everybody. Comedian. Hire him.
Yes, really.
Yeah. Jeff in Monroe.
Hey, Chaz. How are you doing?
Good. You got the whole crew.
A friend of mine was on aircraft carrier. He said it's the most dangerous military ship in the Navy. He said guys are getting hurt, maimed, everything almost every day on the ships. He saw a guy lose his legs when an aircraft came in and got the hook. And the cable, when it hits, I mean, it's, you know, whatever, 100, 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, snaps, yeah.
Cut the guy's legs right off.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, he said they say the aircraft carrier is the most dangerous ship in the Navy. One thing, can I mention that on the 30th, the VFW and American Legion in Norwalk is having a Veterans Day weekend for all veterans to come down. We're going to have a Sherman tank down there. That's a working Sherman tank.
Cool.
I have my helmet with all the military weapons on it.
Sherman tank. Cool. And, that's a badass.
If anybody wants to come down and join, it's free to the public.
Nice.
Jeff, send me info and Ruth will post it on the socials.
Okay. No problem.
Jeff is the one who gave me that bomb, right?
Oh. The missile. Yeah. The
missile, yes.
That's right. The missile.
Right.
Russian missile.
May or may not have been
inert.
I was going to say disarmed.
Oh, thank you, Phil. That's going to save us a lot of paperwork later.
The cat gets off going,
yeah, but I have it in my office. My office is apart right now because of a project, but I have it in my office and it's out on display.
What's a chicken
sound? I just wonder what the cleaning ladies think. Like, if they're like, we're not going to vacuum too close to this.
Right. If also you hear a boom and you just need a pair of slippers.
Jeff, thank you, man. Appreciate it. And
my uncle died on Heartbreak Ridge with Ernie Pyle the same day. Heartbreak Ridge is conscious and objector that they went up on the cliff. My uncle died there with Ernie Pyle the same day.
Oh my God. Wow.
My ultimate dad, sacrifice. Yep.
My dad joined at 15. He lied about his age. Went into the Navy at 16. He was on the ship at 16. He was the first ship to enter Tokyo Bay for the Japanese surrender.
Wow.
Wow. Hero.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hero.
Absolutely.
You come from a line of heroes.
You do.
Can you see a 15-year-old going on a ship right now?
No. There's no 15-year-old. Well, maybe there are. I meet some
there
kids
might be
that
some,
I'm like,
yeah.
You know what? We need to see more of you on social media.
Not
less
as many.
Of
yes.
The dopes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, not a lot, man.
No.
Yeah.
Not have a great weekend and let's remember our loss.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The lighter side of serving.
Right.
Or you can call and honor someone who was lost in war. 877-764-2535. Mike in Shelton.
Yeah, I got a more of a funny story, more of a stupid story.
Okay.
Good.
I was in the Gulf War. And
thank you.
At the time, we were you had to burn the latrine we had the 55-gallon drums cut off, and you know you had to burn them.
Yeah, so, you burn your poop.
Yes.
Okay.
You drag them out. You're supposed to dump diesel into them and light them on fire.
Okay.
Well, one numbnut used gasoline.
Oh.
Gasoline. Explode.
Right? Yeah. Diesel's a slow burn. You could stand there and light it.
Yeah, dirty bomb.
Gas, not so much. He became a dirty bomb.
But yeah. No, so yeah, the guy bent down to light it, and kaboom. It took off eyebrows, eyelashes. Luckily, you know, he only had his hand was burned, but that wasn't too bad.
Where did he land?
Well, yeah, he did fly backwards from,
wow.
And he just looked like he had a really, really bad sunburn.
Right. Yeah. And then he had poop in his pants he had to take care of.
Right. I got
to
burn that. It's a whole smear campaign.
Exactly. You got to burn the PDUs as well. Exactly.
Wow.
Mike, thank you, brother.
That was our worst casualty, actually.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah, this thing I only do once.
Exactly.
Was that the Army, Mike? What was that?
Yeah, Army National Guard. Yep, we got called up.
Yeah, you know, you think about that, how many people sign up for the National Guard, and then the next thing you know, you're over in Iraq.
Somebody thought it was mess hall.
Yeah. I had to drop out of college and just go. Yep.
Wow. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Again, have a solemn Memorial Day.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Thanks, Mike. What do you say?
I've heard Proud Memorial Day.
Have a Proud Memorial Day?
I've heard that, yeah. So,
because you don't want to say happy.
No, you're not. No. There's nothing happy about it.
Yeah.
That's what Matt in Colchester said at the end of his tribute to his brother we played earlier. Yeah. Have a proud Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Have a proud Memorial Day. Paul. Hey, Paul.
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 Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good, man.
Are you there?
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah. So, I was... I was in the Navy back in the 80s.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. And we were in Earl, New Jersey, offloading all our ammunition before we went in the shipyards. And one new kid dropped a 5-inch round on the deck. And his first reaction was to plug his ears. And we all just burst out laughing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you pop bag behind him? Yeah, you come behind him with a bag, pop. Blow up a balloon.
Danny Mack.
Oh.
Who was a member of this family for a long time and served in the U.S. Navy on the phone. Thank you for your service, brother.
Yeah, good morning, you guys. Hey, I miss working with you guys.
Yeah, miss you too,
man. We miss
man.
You too.
Yeah, that was always fun. When I was in the Navy, I was on an aircraft carrier, and we were down by the Devil's Triangle, what they used to call.
Yeah.
Is that the Bermuda Triangle?
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the two.
That's where the planes and the ships would just disappear and bad things would happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It would, always something weird going on there. So we're out at sea, and I'm doing man overboard watch. I'm standing on the back of the fantail of the ship, and it was lunchtime. Lunchtime was just getting over, so we would throw our garbage over the side at lunch,
Right.
And then the sharks would just tail us, follow us, to eat the garbage.
Right.
So I'm working man overboard watch, and all of a sudden, this guy goes floating by me. He got a Dear John letter at mail call.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So he jumps overboard, because usually if you jump overboard, you get discharged. If you live,
yeah.
If you live.
That's part two.
Oh,
yeah,
and you get the sharks following. Not a good time to...
Not a good time to do it.
Yeah, maybe, like 3 o'clock better, yeah.
Yeah, right. So I throw him the life ring, and I... throwing the smoke flare, and it takes us 12 miles to turn a ship around,
Oh, 12 miles.
Damn.
Yeah, it takes 12 miles to turn around. So we finally get back to where the flare is there and the life ring is there, but we don't see the guy.
Oops.
So we put a boat in the water, smaller boat, and my buddies were the guys running the boat, and all they could do was find his hand.
Oh.
All they found was his hand. No. Yeah. I was shook up.
Yeah, of course.
I was the last guy to see him. I had to go up and visit the captain and, oh, man.
This is the lighter side of stuff.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
We're doing light stories.
Hey, Cap, you need a hand?
Imagine a bad stuff.
You gave him a high five and he hopped out of the water.
I felt bad.
We did a
lot of screwing around, too. But
oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's I'll remember that story forever.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about that ship turning around is that everybody on board is... in. It's like, turn around, let's get this guy.
Yeah. One of our own.
That's one of our own.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Right.
Now, on any other ship, it's like, oh my God, we're not stopping.
Right.
We're not stopping. the port.
Right.
Like, I paid for this cruise.
Right.
I need to go ashore. Right. Everyone would be bitching. Wait, we're turning around to save someone? What about our vacation?
That was part of my cruise.
He jumped off the ship.
I want a discount.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, not the ending, but I love that everybody was like, we're in. Turn this sucker around.
What they're made of, man.
Ugh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a good time to jump overboard.
No.
No.
Looking back, definitely
not. No, what a bummer, man.
Yeah.
What a bummer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny, good to hear your voice, my brother.
Yeah, good hearing you guys, too.
Ed in Staven.
Hey, guys. Happy Memorial Day to everybody.
You don't say that.
So, all right. So, when I was in the Coast Guard, we were doing a routine flight, mechanic flight. Basically, the helicopter was just fixed, so we had to go make sure everything worked.
Right.
I did not want to go on this flight. you've talked to me enough. So I made that very, very known to everybody involved that I did not want to do this.
Right.
Apparently, I bitched and moaned about it so much that mid-flight, my harness to the helicopter became unclipped. And the pilot decided to make a turn, which dumped me in the water.
Oh,
mid-flight.
Oh, wow. Oh,
just a coincidence.
Right. Like a teabag. Dunk. Total lesson.
Not sure. A little lesson, but yeah, it was funny.
Right. No, attitude adjustment. Yeah.
It would have been bad if you turned into like a mist.
Right.
Oh, yeah, right. And you went through the blade.
Right.
It's like, you know, I was going to just dump him in the water, but the wind caught him, and I don't know what the hell happened.
It's his Cuisinart, yeah.
We found his hand.
Right.
Also, a movie about the lighter side of the military is Bear Run. It's about it's a true story about Vietnam. A buddy takes all his friends bear, and he leaves the United States, goes to Vietnam, and does a bear run.
What, the movie's called Bear Run?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay. Check it out.
I'm going to write it down.
It was definitely.
Is it worth seeing, or am I going to get halfway through and say, I'm going to kick Ed's ass?
No.
Not that I can.
Yeah. It's a great movie about friendship and just being there for your buddy.
Gotcha.
Cool. It's on my list. Thank you, brother.
All right, guys.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you for your service. Steven.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for recognizing Memorial Day.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
So I was in the Navy, and we had just left Panama, and I was standing watch on the bridge, and there was a talk-around system for the lookout.
Which year was this?
And this was in 93.
Okay. 93 in Panama, okay.
And apparently we had been in there, and quite a few guys had taken advantage of the local talent.
The local talent.
Right, and quite a talent pool it was, yes.
Well, so he was talking to the guy who was the rear lookout and thought they were the only ones who could listen to the conversation. And he was getting taken care of and got excited and reached down, and it turns out it was a guy.
Oopsie.
Well, conceal weapon.
Yep.
Well, it's funny how good it felt until that moment.
Right.
You didn't really care.
Game changer.
Well, not realizing everybody in combat could hear him, everybody in the ship knew about it after that.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Which back then was just not a good thing.
It was a whole different thing back then.
It was, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be excited today.
No, I wouldn't be happy about it either.
No.
That's just my, you know, it's how my brain is wired.
Always check for weapons.
Jay in Bristol.
Yes, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning. Thank you for your service.
All right, thank you so much. Great to be on a with you guys. I have a bit of a story. It's kind of sad, but I want to say that because for this Memorial Weekend, we should just not just remember veterans, but also civilians dying in terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
So my story was back in 95, I did my basic training in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And it was mail call.
Hey, we lost the call.
Oh, man.
So he was going to call in the Oklahoma City.
I was going to say, yeah, the bombing.
Yeah.
Tim McVeigh. Yeah.
Yeah. The federal building.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Dallas at the time.
That was
it was like it happened down the street, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Dude, call back, please. Uber Tim.
Hey, good morning, crew. How's everybody?
Good, thank you.
Good morning.
Very good. So I was in the Navy back from 77 to 81.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate that. I was the ship's barber.
Oh. Huh.
So
is that a good job?
Everybody who's ever been on a ship knows the aft end of the ship rocks back and forth.
I know.
But the forward part goes up and then drops down.
And where were
when
you?
The water's a little shaky.
And where did they put the barber shop?
Right in front, right?
All the way forward. It's no lies. Unbelievable. So I'm cutting this lieutenant's hair
because
we're getting ready to come into shore after being out for 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And I never felt it go up, but man, when it dropped down, it dropped down so quick. I was working on the back of this guy's head, and I think I invented the the shaved head in the back, man, because I put a line down the back of this guy's head.
like a racing stripe.
Paper.
No matter what I did, I couldn't fix it. I just didn't have the skills to fix that. And I swear to God, for the last 2 years on that ship, every time that guy passed me, he gave me the stink eye, man.
Just don't tell him.
And he was a big dude with the full beard, spitting the can from the juice type of stuff.
Yeah.
I was afraid of that guy. For 2 years, I was looking over my shoulder every time I was going where he was.
Right. This cuts on me.
So when someone would sit in your chair on the ship, would you be like, so what would you like today? Right. Buzz cut?
Right. You're all buzz cuts.
No. The guy turned out to be pretty cool overall. He never said nothing to nobody. He even never said nothing to me about it. But I was an okay barber because, you know, a military haircut is pretty standard. You know, the sides and the back of the main
thing. Right, yeah. That was kind of the joke
because
that got lost.
You want to be clean cut all the way around like that just to go on shore leave when you pulled in the shore.
Yeah.
So I was everybody's favorite guy when we were pulling in the shore, but nobody knew me before that.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, now you love me.
Well, thank you for your service, brother.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate that, fellas. And God bless America and God bless our veterans.
Absolutely. Yes.
Hear, hear. All right, Joe in Bristol is back. And so 1995, you're in Oklahoma. You're doing what, basic training?
Yes, I was doing basic training, and it was mail call a little bit after 8. And because Fort Sill, Oklahoma is home of the artillery, and we heard the explosion, we didn't think nothing of it at that time. You know, hey, they're practicing early.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of unusual. So anyway, try to make it short, a few hours later, we get roll call. We have to dress in our uniforms or fatigues, they call it back then, and have your ID with you. Cannot leave the base. You cannot have visitors. I'm like, what's going on? Oh, there was an attack on a government building in Oklahoma. I was like, oh, my God, what happened? And it was after we watched the news and what we heard about the truck and this and that. And it was very sad because, you know, the employees, they had like kind of like a school down on the bottom, and there was like a lot of kids died, and of course,
yeah, those images are still burnt into my brain.
Yeah,
like I can't remember what I said an hour ago, but man, I'm flashing back to those images.
You can picture immediately, yeah,
the kids being carried out.
Yeah,
and yeah, it was horrific, man.
It was, and that's why we should just remember our veterans and civilians died in senseless terrorist attacks.
Absolutely,
it
yes.
Does not make any sense.
No.
No point to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, I do have a couple of fine stories here and there, but I just want to throw that out. So
no, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no. It's important to remember that.
Yeah, and thank you for your service.
You're very welcome, guys. Great talking to you and everybody who's listening. Have a great weekend. And can I give a quick shout out to my wife? Her birthday was 2 days ago.
No, we're out of here.
I don't know.
Of course, man. Go ahead. Fine. Yeah. Who is it?
My name is Jessica. Love you. Happy birthday again. And, yeah, thank you guys again.
Happy birthday, Jessica.
Yeah, thank you, man.
And, Joe, thank you for your service, brother.